Ghosts are everywhere.
Wow.
Wow. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Evan. It's us.
Hello, people. How's it going? It's me, your boy, Cecilia.
That's right, and it's me, yeah, the boy, Carly, and we are here to be doing the thing we always do. You know what it is. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast, and it's called Ghosts Are Everywhere. And
that's right.
It's like radio, but you can just, like, download it onto your phone and listen into it whenever you want.
Yeah, in case you weren't sure what a podcast was, and this is the very first podcast you're ever hearing, welcome. This is what podcasts are.
Wow, I'm so proud of you for figuring out how to use podcasts, if that's the case. And we're honored to be the first podcast that you listen to.
Honestly, yes, because that sounds incredible. And mm-hmm. also, you're welcome, because I feel like we're going to give you a really weird look into what podcasts can be.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're the best podcast out there, so obviously.
I mean, we think so. We keep doing it. So if we didn't believe ourselves, we wouldn't be doing it.
We do keep doing it.
Yeah, we like it. And obviously you like it. That's why we keep doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's great. That's good for everybody. It really proves the world over that people love ghosts and also love to giggle.
It really proves the world over that me and Carly love ghosts. And at least, like, a few people love to listen to us. I don't know if that means they love ghosts, but they at least love to hear us tell you about ghosts.
To hear us discuss them ourselves. I hadn't considered that maybe people don't care about the content. They just care about the way we give it to them.
Wow. The way we give it to them. Exactly.
For us.
I don't know. Like, I have, like, family members that listen, even though they're not necessarily, like, I don't know. My dad listens, and he's not a
That's
big
true.
Ghost head.
No, he's not a ghost head, but he's a big fan. He's a big fan of you.
Yeah.
A big fan of giggling, so that's that's fair.
He loves to giggle.
He loves to giggle. What a giggle kind of guy.
He loves to giggle.
He's a giggle guy.
So that's why, that's the long way of saying hello and welcome to the podcast. And
hello. And we love you. And welcome.
And we're here in our separate homes, hiding from the smoke that's outside.
Correct. We're indoor cats today, big, big time.
We are indoor cats today, despite, did you know that? Mine and Melanie, friend of the pod, we go to trivia almost every week, and our trivia team's name is Outdoor Cats. So that's what it makes me feel, that's what Murdo made me think of. We're the Outdoor that's Cats good. Because we always sit on the patio, even in the winter when it's cold and threatening to kill us. Because we're the Outdoor Cats.
That's pretty funny. You're like, this is a really good bit, and we're going to really do it.
And that's a look into my life, and that's where I'm going, not after this, but a bit after this, later today.
Not after this. Oh, well, best of luck being outdoors on a day like this.
I know. It's like a covered patio, so I'm hoping that it's not, like, terrifying. And if it is, we'll go inside and we will be indoor cats for the first time ever.
Wow.
The winter did not bring us inside, but this fucking smoke might.
And that is a discussion on the dire complexities of climate change, friends.
Oh my god, right?
Because, yeah, like, we Canadians are used to the cold, but we are not used to so much smoke, we stay inside.
I know, it's like, I can deal with cold if it's, like, a covered patio, they give us little blankets, there's heaters, then it's cozy. If it's
nice
smoky,
even.
I just don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, okay, I'll close all my windows, but I can't, like, I had to go to the grocery store today, and I was, like, feeling really weird, and I was just like, okay, why am I so anxious just, like, going to the fucking no frills? Why do I
outside
feel awful
it's poison.
Because I have to walk to Dufferin Mall? Why do I feel so anxious?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's because of fucking smoke.
It's literally poison.
It's great. Makes me feel great.
My problem is that it's my favorite smell. My favorite smell is campfire.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so being like, oh, and then going, ah! Like,
yeah, because it...
Knowing I shouldn't be smelling it, but being like, yum.
It's like you go outside, you're like, oh, this is kind of like, oh, in the summer when you go camping and you can smell the campfires around and it's like warm and like nice. And I'm like, no, it's bad.
Yeah. And then you go, wait, and then you go away.
Oh, no. It should not be perpetual campfire smell.
Oh, no. It's not good. But yeah, no, I know it's bad when I look outside and I can see that it's bad. And I go, oh, no. Outside shouldn't look like it has a weird Instagram filter. Like, that's not... Mm-hmm. How outside looks.
Because it does just kind of look like overcast, but once you're in certain areas, you're like, oh, shit, I can really see it. Like, I was on the island a few weeks ago when it was kind of smoky and you, like, couldn't see.
Weird.
Like, or, you could just see that it was, like, very hazy. Like, you can see the buildings, but they were very, like, ooh.
Didn't look right.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks very apocalyptic.
Like, I was driving through the city yesterday, and not Toronto, but Hamilton, and, like, everything looked a little, like, not quite orange, but I was like, oh, no. Like, it looked like I was looking at, like, the scenography for, like, a 1970s movie is the only way I can describe it. I was like, this is not the color palette quite exactly. Like,
It's not great.
So, not great. I guess it could be worse, but also that's not a challenge, so
ideal. I would love if this would not be how the outside is.
Right? I mean, we're pretty lucky in that we are going to be getting away very shortly.
We are. Wow. Way to segue into our special announcement. If you guys haven't heard... We're going on tour, sort of?
Yeah, we're doing a tour, ? Can you call it a tour if it's one city and two shows? I think
we're doing two shows at the same venue in a city that we don't live in or go to often or ever.
Really ever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really excited about it. We're bringing this guy on the road. We're doing a live show, two live shows in Edmonton, Alberta for Found Fest. So we're really excited. To be bringing this to our Alberta listeners in person and bringing you all along, because you'll hear the recordings later if you can't join us there. But if you can, the festival is July 6th through 9th. There's a lot of really incredible stuff going on, including our two shows on the 8th and the 9th. So if you're in the Edmonton area, you should join us because it's going to be a ball and a blast.
Check out the Found Festival website for tickets. I'm sure we can also link to those in our like link tree or in the show notes.
It's already in our link tree, baby. If you want to go look, it's already there. That's right. So we're really excited about it. It's something that's been in the works for us for like basically over a year. So we're really pumped. But it's hard when you know about something and you can't talk about it. We've talked about
this before.
But, like, we've kind of known it was going to be a thing, but we couldn't, like, say for sure or, like, announce it, but...
Flights had an inkling.
Papers are signed. Yeah.
We've kind of known since, like, last year.
Yeah, we've had... Yeah.
And then we've, like, known more for sure for a few months, but we, like, just now it's been announced. We have everything, ready to go. Yeah. Flights booked, venue booked, we have it all organized, we have our guests booked.
Yes, yeah, we're having two special guests. It's so exciting. Yeah, we're so excited to have two more guests join the pod fam, and it's going to be great. It's going to be really exciting. Mm-hmm. And, like, we haven't done a live show. We've only ever done one other live show, so it's still really a who knows what's going to happen kind of situation, which we love.
So we're hoping to do more live shows in the future. I think we'll probably plan a Toronto one sometime soon.
So hopefully. Keep your peepers peeled.
And then I don't know if you live somewhere, if you know of any like similar like something like the Found Festival that would be willing to take us. That would be great.
Please take in these indoor cats. We would love to visit your place.
If you have like a cool venue that you know of, like let us know. We'd love to check it out.
Yeah, if you have a cool haunty venue that you're like, oh my goodness, these girls have to come and talk at it and in it, let us know. We would be happy to, because that's what we like to do. And also, it's neat to be able to like you know, visit some of the places we talk about. We love that kind of stuff. That's like how this kind of started. In the earliest days, we only talked about places we had been. Or like places close to where we had been or like really wanted to go or could go. And then we've been going for over 150 episodes. So you eventually talk about places you've never been or might
never go. We've talked about so many places we've never been.
So many places. They are way outnumbered.
Places we would love to go.
Absolutely. Always. All places we would love to go, I'm pretty sure. But, of course, somewhere I'm talking about today, because it's a me episode, everybody.
It's a Carly episode.
I'm talking about a place I have been. Speaking of places we have been, that's what I'm doing. And it's kind of in the spirit of knowing we will be traveling soon to Edmonton. I decided to do a place I've traveled to recently as last week, actually. And it is none other than somewhere we visited before, and somewhere I'm sure we'll visit again, Montreal. Ooh. Yeah. So are you ready, Cecilia? Buckle in.
I'm ready. I would love to do a Montreal show, too.
Hey, Montreal, hit us up.
Montreal, you want us?
We would love to be there. That's true. We're just pitching ourselves to various cities at this point.
Right?
Honestly, we're down. Sign us up, sign us in. If you want us to come to you, we'll find a way. So Montreal, talk about oldly settled, right, Cecilia?
Sure.
The most populated city in La Belle Province, Quebec. It was founded in 1642 as Ville-Marie by French colonizers, and it is situated on the unceded and unsurrendered lands of the Mohawk, who are a part of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. This city is named after Montreal, Mount Royal, the hill surrounding much of the early lower city. Mount Royal today, at least a part of it, is a huge, gorgeous cemetery, picturesque and overlooking the grand city.
Spooky.
It's somewhere I visited for the first time, the most recent time I've been to Montreal, and it was very exciting.
I don't think I've actually been to, like, the cemetery itself.
I have. I went for the first time most recently, and it was really cool. I was in Montreal with Pal of the Pod, Laura Welch, researching a new play we're writing. Hint, hint. That's not a hint, really. It's just an inside view. I'm not going to go into detail. It's still really in infant stages of being researched. But part of our research brought us to the cemetery, and it's beautiful, and it's, like, wild. There's some parts of the cemetery that are... I'm not even talking about the cemetery. This is just a side tangent. This is not even my story. But part of this parts of the cemetery, like some of the like mausoleums and things, are built right into the mountain. It's wild.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. You can see like the whole city and the view is ridiculous. It's like just a beautiful park that happens to have a bunch of like stones and bodies in it. It's cool.
Yeah, that's really neat.
And while I'm here today to talk about an old Montreal cemetery, it's actually a different one that demands my focus,
okay,
as I mentioned. In the heart of downtown Montreal is a place called Dorchester Square and Place du Canada. It sounds so French. Dorchester Square, Place du Canada, which are popular green spaces who are like adjacent, basically one big space just cut through by a street. They're popular green spaces that are open 24/7 to the city's public. Millions of locals and tourists alike pass over this ground without knowing its wild and macabre history. Because beneath the pavers and lush green grass is what was once known as the Saint Antoine Cemetery.
Okay.
A Catholic burial ground that served the city from 1799 until only 1855. Because it ran out of space.
Oh no. Too many dead people.
Entirely too many dead people. So I got a lot of my information today from hauntedmontreal.com, Wikipedia, and mtlblog.com. And it's estimated, Cecilia, that at least 70,000 people were buried there.
That's so many people.
That's so many in such a short time.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah. In the earliest days of the city, people were buried within fortifications in what is now Old Montreal. So the part of Montreal that has all the beautiful cobblestones down by the port. People were buried in and around there because that's where everything had been settled. Mm-hmm. But when the British conquered New France and took control of the city in 1760, they decided further burial inside the city was too great a risk to public health. Fair, you know? Mm-hmm. So they sought land in more rural areas to rest their dead. Bought for £1,500, the land that would quickly become Saint Antoine Cemetery was secured. It operated as an ordinary burial ground for about 30 years until it garnered a new purpose and a new nickname, the Cholera Cemetery.
Oh no, that's why there's so many.
Oh no, that's why there's so many.
Oh no.
Oh dear. Oh dear. I know. And also, like, I for a moment I was like, why haven't we talked about like plagues in a long time? And then I remembered why we hadn't talked about plagues in a long time.
But we're avoiding the subject.
We've been avoiding the subject for a good, I don't know, 2 years probably. For actively fair avoiding reason. It. So I feel like it's okay to bring it back now. It's we have to at this point.
Yeah.
But what else are we supposed to do? It's not our fault.
We're at the place where we're okay. We're okay. We can talk about this.
We're okay. We can talk about it again now. It's fine. It's not. It's different. It's under control in some kind of way, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Vaccines are strong and good, and let's keep getting them. You know? Yeah. That's really what we're trying to say with this today.
That's why we don't have cholera anymore.
That's right. Literally. So the first epidemic of cholera to the city began with the immigrant ship Voyageur in the harbor on June 9th, 1832. All passengers safely disembarked, save one. A man was found lying on the deck on his back, writhing in pain, who was then tended to by Dr. Nelson, who was the Montreal Health Commissioner. And Dr. Nelson found that the man's blood had turned black. The beginning of the end for so many Montrealers.
Ooh, don't like that.
Yeah, like, that. I guess the black blood thing is a very cholera thing. Like, it's like, oh, that's cholera for sure, guys. You know?
That's how you can tell? That's
how you know. Freaky. Black blood. But I'm also pretty sure by that point, you can't do, there's nothing to be done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's giving, like, whoops, you know? It's giving whoops.
Whoops, they're dead.
Whoops, there they aren't. It's death now. It's cholera.
Hey, there's like a squeaky sound.
A squeaky sound?
It's like every few seconds it's like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Maybe it's just birds, but it sounds like a weird chirping. There, I heard her there.
Those are birds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I hear birds.
You're hearing birds for sure.
I hear birds. There's birds.
Signs of life. Signs of life.
Okay. All right. It's been solved. We know what happened.
So, funny you mentioned the wildfires earlier, because I wrote, it spread faster than the smoke from the wildfires.
Hey, yikes.
Yeah. Which also too apparently soon. Has spread to Europe. I'm not crying. You're
Jesus.
Crying. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, my God.
It's not the one, you know?
It's fucked.
It's not the one. So speaking of poor air quality, Cecilia, to quote-unquote purify the air, Dr. Nelson ordered barrels of tar to be lit throughout the city and for medical personnel to be on high alert.
Are we going to start doing that?
I mean, I guess if it worked for Montreal in 1832, it would definitely work for us, right?
Just
burning open tar. Yeah,
tar,
I feel like that
barrels.
Definitely,
let's go.
Definitely cleans the air.
How is that cleaning the air?
It's not, Cecilia. It's, in fact, polluting the air. Very
yeah, that's
bad,
what I thought. I'm like,
yeah.
maybe it's just, like, diluting the, like, cholera air. It's getting rid of it with some other fucking toxins.
Right? They're like, maybe if more people die from breathing tar air, less will die from cholera.
It sounds like a wonderful time to be alive. That's, like, sometimes I listen to, or, like, hear stories from the olden times and I'm like okay, like we're having a rough time now, but you know, it could There could be cholera and fucking tar air.
Right? Like, I mean, to be fair, we have COVID air and wildfire air, but like...
Yeah, but we also have modern medicine.
Right? That's what I was just about to say. At least we have ways to make that work, you know? Like,
yeah.
Instead of, like, just throwing caution to the wind and being like, put a leech on it, you know? You know, I think we're much more well-equipped, at least. And hopefully, you know, like, in 100 years, someone will be like, oh my gosh, they only had vaccines and masks? Ugh, yeah. Look at us now.
You know what? It's bad. People will think it's bad in the future. But you know what? Yeah. At least there will be people looking back, hopefully.
I mean, we can only hope, really. And if we...
we can only hope and pray.
If we don't, then, well, that's sad. So we're just gonna say that's the case. There will be people in the future.
In the future, there will be people looking back that's and right. saying, wow, that sucked that they... people. Why would people not be getting vaccines if there were perfectly good vaccines?
Exactly. 200 years crazy. From now, we'll be like, hey, at least they were trying to put out the wildfires with helicopters. At least they had helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be something, hopefully. And if not, well, what can you do? So, needless to say, many people succumbed to the illness, and so many, indeed, that death carts were brought through the streets Monty Python style, Cecilia.
Cool. Bring out Trudad.
Bring out Trudad, flying yellow flags to warn of contagion. And yikes, literally, yeah, they'd away. Walk them through the streets and say, bring out your dead. Like, give us your dead people. Put them here.
Get them out of your house.
Literally get them out of your house because they were so afraid of contagion. They were like, the sooner you get them gone and buried, the better, because then it will stop. It's the only way for them to have stopped the disease, really.
Mm-hmm.
So bodies were piled 2 to 4 per cart and brought immediately to Saint Antoine, where they were stacked in coffins and hastily buried, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. For fear that the contagion would spread, no records were kept. Men and women weren't separated. They just got them in the ground as quickly as they could. Ideally, between their death and burial was no more than 6 hours. So very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, I mean, the grave diggers were largely illiterate. So also, if they had wanted to keep records, they probably couldn't keep records. Because, you know, like always, like still today, skilled laborers are the people who often have the least access to education, all that kind of stuff. So they did what needed to be done. Nothing fancy.
It's like, who wants to be the ones that are out on the streets fucking collecting?
Yeah.
Like... diseased dead bodies. It's not ideal.
It's like no one wants to. It's like who has to get by, you know?
No one. No one wants that job.
No. No one is like, you know, when I grow up, I would love to be a death cart guy. Being very close to all of the cholera every day. I love that idea for me.
Yeah.
Nobody's out here. No little boy is dreaming, Mommy, one day when I grew up, because that's how people in Montreal talked in the 1890s. Mommy, when I grew up, I want to be a death cart puller. Nobody is doing that.
No one.
So this spread so quickly, the disease, that just 3 days after the first case, Cecilia, there were already more than 150 coffins stacked up at the cemetery.
Yikes.
Like, backlog. And gravediggers couldn't keep up with a 6-hour burial window. No surprise. Mm-hmm. So because of this, Dr. Nelson ordered parishioners to bring their shovels and spades and help them dig.
Fun.
Right? They dug trenches and they lined them with the never-ending incoming coffins. So kind of how we kind of touched on this a little bit, but which is the treatment of the time, which was very rudimentary. And that's me being kind, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Nelson himself, who, again, was the Montreal Health Commissioner. He's the health commissioner of one of the biggest cities in old New France, right? Like, he's one of the biggest cities in British North America at the time. He says, that using opium, bleeding, and bed rest was infallible. He's like, this is the top of the pops, baby. This is what we need to be doing. It's the only way anything will happen. You know how wrong this man really is.
Opium what? Opium, bleeding,
opium, and bed rest? Opium, bleeding, and bed rest.
Yeah. That's what I do on my days off.
That sounds like a party, baby.
Let's go.
Right? But then again, he's the guy who's like ordering buckets of tar to just be burned in the city street. So like,
I mean, he's really just back in grasping. These days, like they don't know. They have no idea. No. They're like, I don't know, mm-hmm. at least like got to tell them something so they aren't just like freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, so they're not running amok in the streets, kissing yeah. each other, giving each other cholera kisses, you know?
I mean, it's better to tell people to just like stay inside and do opium. Like,
honestly, yeah, it's less harmful.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the worst thing to tell them. Yeah.
No, there are definitely worse things. But it's not going to make them better, that's for sure.
No. It's not infallible, but it's, I don't right? know. Right?
Yeah, it's very something. Confident man. Yeah. What a guy to say, it's infallible. I don't think right? there's anything in this world I would call infallible. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of a single thing I could call infallible. Like, maybe cheesecake. But, like, yeah, cheesecake is kind of perfect.
Yeah, but then it's like, there's a lot of cheesecakes aren't perfect.
That's true. Yeah, you have to find the perfect cheesecake to call perfect.
Not all cheesecakes are infallible.
No, but yeah. So you can't just be out here saying cheesecake in general as Mm-mm. a variety is infallible.
Because what if make a cheesecake and I just, like, make a bad cheesecake?
Yeah, I'm and not then you're infallible. Telling people, cheesecake is infallible, and I'm like, not that one.
Not if I make it.
Not if I'm about to make it.
Not if I have anything to do about it.
I'll show you infallible cheesecake.
Yeah, nothing is infallible.
Proceeds to make the most fallible of cheesecakes of all time. That's accurate. No, nothing is infallible. With so many bodies piling up, again, because of the rudimentary medicine and just general disease, and few medical answers, med student Cecilia soon moved to grave robbing so they could perform autopsies. Many of which were openly conducted on site at the southwest quarter of today's square.
They just did the autopsies in the square?
Yeah, they just set up little shacks and they were like, this is where we're doing it now.
I guess you don't want to take the cholera bodies
through the city again.
Yeah, I guess it's best to just do them where contain you got them.
Yeah. And I guess also because I think some of it was to learn anatomy and things, but I think also some of it was to try to figure out how the fuck cholera works. So, you know, it does kind of make sense one-stop shop, you know, but also grave robbing is never good. But, you know, we also kind of get it. I think you and I were like, well, if the church won't let you learn, you have to still learn somehow.
Yeah, I right? I mean, like, I have a problem with grave robbing when it comes to, like, what the families are gonna think and how that affects them. But, like, it's a dead body. Like,
It wasn't really like matter. There's the option to leave your body to science in those days.
Yeah. Like, well, especially, like, Montreal at the time was very Catholic. And, like, Catholics believe that if you're not buried, you're in fucking, like, purgatory. If you're not, like, buried in consecrated ground the right way, you're fucked. So
they no also one was don't going love to people touching dead bodies. Also, they love all their things intact because they need it for heaven.
So no one's going to offer themselves up to be like go to science because you need to be you need to be in one piece, you need to be buried in consecrated ground, you got to be in a big box. Well, I guess you don't have to be in a big box. You can be thrown into a pit with
everyone
else.
You can be in a little box, they still put them in boxes, to be fair. They didn't just willy-nilly dump them in, apparently.
Oh, okay, it wasn't just, like, a mass, like...
No, it wasn't, like, a pit of you know, that we hear about.
Okay,
you know.
That's what I was...
Because they were Catholic, I'm pretty sure they have a bunch of boxes.
Okay, that makes sense. That's, like, what I was picturing was...
Yeah. No, I know. I also was picturing that, too, until I read, like... the descriptions of like coffins piled high, and I was like, oh right, because this is a Catholic cemetery, and they have to be. It's a proper, you know, there's steps you have to take.
Yeah.
And so Cecilia, because again, this is a Catholic cemetery, and these are Catholic people, and I'm assuming also because it's cholera, it's not all Catholic people, but it's also like that's the custom of the cemetery for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not these people being buried are all Catholic, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure a good chunk of them, at least where it's, you know, it's French speaking, English, yeah. Montreal, you know, it's mm-hmm. Catholic central. Because of that, some residents took to calling the sheds where they were carrying out the autopsies the slaughterhouses, which I think is pretty hilarious and also mm-hmm. terrifying. They're like, no.
I mean, they're bad. So they're mad Catholics, about it.
They're mad about it. The devout Catholics begged their priests to intervene and end the autopsies.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know what the priests did, Cecilia?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they joined in to perform their own horrific operations.
The priests did?
The priests did.
What were they up to?
This is a trigger warning for anyone who doesn't want to hear about pregnancy or, like, possible bodily autonomy being, you know, not a person's. Just skip ahead, like, a good 3 minutes. You're good. So, as we know, Cecilia, there's a strong belief, a Catholic belief, that only those baptized will go to heaven, right? Like, you need to be baptized to get rid of that original sin, or else you're not going to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, pregnant women who were ill and near death, the stories I read said they begged, but I don't know that they begged. So they either begged or didn't
mm-hmm.
for a procedure called an infant baptism, where a doctor would cut open their bellies, performing some kind of cesarean to reveal the fetus, where while the mother cried in deep pain, they would sprinkle holy water over the womb before both mother and unborn child died.
What the fuck?
So that they might be reunited in paradise.
What the fuck? Wait, this was, like, while like, a sick pregnant woman was, like, still alive, they just were like, well, we gotta make sure this baby goes to heaven.
Yeah, the mother's dying. Might as well make sure the baby goes to heaven with her.
Might as well kill her violently.
Yeah. Yeah, like, might as well have her just bleed out to death instead of from her cholera, you know?
I mean,
Yeah, it's very scary. Very body horror.
I'm wondering how many of these circumstances it was, like, the family or, like, the husband, like, making this happen. Yes. And how often it was the actual, like, pregnant woman being like, I need my baby to go to heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, in reading the articles and things I read that were like, they begged for it. I was like, did they beg for it?
I'm sure in some situations they did.
I'm sure some did, for yeah. sure. But I can't imagine everyone who had it happen to them did beg. Like, that's so unhinged.
Yeah.
And so, like, so far beyond anything I had ever read about or mm-hmm. had known about, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, now, for example, if a child is born and doesn't survive or is not born alive, they mm-hmm. still baptize them and still can put them in their box and have them give them a funeral. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess because, yeah, I don't know. It's very dramatic and it's very, and I also like just knowing the rudimentary nature of like surgery in that era is so scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure they didn't do much to help these sick people anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, not great, but they definitely did that there also. And at least, for Cecilia, at least 30 of these procedures, we know, were carried out at St. Antoine.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we also know that, like, it was cholera time. Record keeping is only so good
mm-hmm.
When not everyone who's helping you record things can read, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Fucked.
Yeah. So fucked.
Yeah.
So fucked. Plague, turns out, not good, you know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Another terrifying occurrence at this cemetery was due to the need for haste in burying the cholera victims. Like I mentioned, had to be very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, Cecilia, were unfortunately buried alive.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
What?
They're buried Why? Alive, Cecilia.
What is this? Is like a horror movie. This is fucked.
I know. I don't know why someone hasn't written a movie about this. Mm-hmm. I really just thought I was going to have a chill time writing about a former cemetery. And then it was like the cholera time. And
yeah.
I went, oh, no. I had to buckle up. So, cholera, as a disease, makes, you know, the body devastatingly weak, right? Mm-hmm. It kills you. Mm-hmm. And also, opium, as I mentioned, was a popular mode of treatment. And opium makes you very sleepy. Mm-hmm. Very, like, immobile. Oh, very, like, lie-down sleepiness.
So sleepy.
So sleepy, giving, you know, Juliet sleepy. You know, that's what it's giving. And so many people appeared dead when, in actuality, they were only just very, very ill.
They were just very ill and very high. They were just
very ill and super high and horizontal. And so they went, that's someone who's dead. Nay, nay. So when the cemetery... So skip ahead a bit. The cemetery, as I mentioned, was filled completely by the 1850s. And it was soon fell into disrepair as the city continued to build up around it. Mm-hmm. So the last burial happened in 1855. You know, the wooden crosses are like leaning, paint's peeling, and it's mm-hmm. yucky. And because the city's being built up around it, it's today in like full on downtown Montreal. Mm-hmm. But like when it was first created, it was very rural. And then as time went, it was much less rural.
Yeah.
It was a very desirable plot of land. And so the city decided to repurpose it in the 1860s. Mm-hmm. They were like, okay, let's reclaim this land and rezone it for, you know, basically a park. Mm-hmm. So lots of work had been going on around it. Trenches had been dug for various reasons. And also, as they were moving it from a cemetery to a park, much like the park we lived near when we lived in Ottawa, Cecilia, if you might remember.
They moved, did they move some of the bodies?
Some of the bodies, as it says on the plaque. Yeah. Many bodies were exhumed carelessly mm-hmm. and moved so that it might become a public park.
Yeah.
And during these exhumations, it was noted that many of the coffins they came across appeared damaged from the inside.
Oh.
As the buried had clearly attempted to free themselves. Yeah. There were accounts from around the around then mm-hmm. that folks had awakened in their coffins, piled up before burial, though.
Yeah.
Because remember, they were piled up many high.
Yes.
And some had banged on the sides until, you know, workers freed them or they got out. But others, as were, you know, evidenced by, you know, the uncoverings when they turned into a park, were not so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
One of the unluckies was a young girl named Mademoiselle Hervieux, who was supposed to have died from cholera after, and this is so funny and also sad, visiting her BFF for tea.
No!
She went for tea at her BFF's house. And her BFF's, I guess, the man of the house or her BFF's dad had recently died from cholera. And she went and had tea. It was chill. And she came home and she was like, I have cholera. I'm dying.
Don't go for tea at a cholera house. Girly.
Don't go for tea at the cholera house, right? Even if it is your BFF, don't. Just
right?
Don't.
Just, like, avoid for you know? A while. Like, yeah. Stay inside.
Send her a card. Mm-hmm. Send her some flowers.
Yeah.
Just be regular, mm-hmm. you know? But she visited the cholera house, and then she died.
Yeah.
When her coffin was exhumed, I think they came across it when they were working, they were digging trenches for, I guess, running pipe or something. I'm not quite sure. She was found having smashed a hole in the side of her coffin with her elbow. And her left arm was extended out in the soil with nothing left but her bones.
No.
Cecilia. Inside her coffin, her right arm was not placed funeral-like on her midsection, like not peacefully at all. Mm-hmm. It was up by her face. And appeared to have had a bite or two taken out of her wrist, yellow jacket style.
She's just eating herself? She was just, like, so hungry. She was like, all right, gotta have a nibble. Jesus.
It seems as though that is the case,
Oh, my God.
Cecilia.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So with all of this wildness and more. It's no wonder many have reported big weirdness on these grounds for almost 200 years.
No kidding.
Right? People have heard screams, disembodied voices, general moaning. They've seen orbs floating through the treetops. People have even reported mumbling sounds of prayer, which sounds really scary. Mm-hmm. And even the occasional wandering ghost. Maybe the wildest report of an occasional wandering ghost was that that occurred was on a nearby street called Rue de Cathédrale, which used to be called Cemetery Street, which was basically the route for the death carts. It's like the part where you just go up the hill to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened apparently around the 1830s or so, which was around the time of the pandemic. Like, the cholera pandemic happened in the summer of 1832. And so this is the story from then. At 2 a.m. one July, a police officer reported a corpse stumbling towards him.
Nope.
He described it as wrapped in a winding sheet, the burial garments of the 1830s. The corpse stumbled down the cemetery street and headed eastward towards the city. The policeman, running to his station, cried, "The dead are coming out of their graves!" You know, which sounds like a fake story, right?
It does sound fake.
Tell a kid.
Yeah.
It's weird. But apparently there is an actual man who did this very corpse shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
This really happened. Bill Collins was a man who had been pronounced dead and stacked in a coffin in the cemetery. He awoke from his opium coma, luckily before being buried, because I guess they had to dig. They stopped the digging for the night and they were going to start the next day. Mm-hmm. For the next round of, you know, coffins.
And usually you can just leave the bodies in the coffins because they won't get up and start walking down the street.
They're not going to go anywhere pretty much usually. But our boy Bill awoke and said, "I'm alive, guys." Yeah. It's yeah, he's giving not dead. Here, not he says he's not dead.
Dead yet.
Yeah. He's giving not dead yet.
That's that guy. A king. Imagine. Good for him.
Right? I know. And he was lucky because he was, I guess, the top of the stack. So all he had to do was just open his coffin and just get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did. He hopped out and he ran back home into the city in nothing but his burial shroud. And apparently, Celia, this man lived to a healthy age of 92.
Damn. Good for him. He was like, right? I've died once already. I don't need to for a while.
He's good. He's like, I'm chill on that. Thank mm-hmm. you. But maybe now he still relives this terrifying trek. You know, mm-hmm. he's kind of giving. People have seen a ghostly version of this as well, mm-hmm. kind of. So the first cholera epidemic killed 15% of the city's residents, nearly 2,000 people. And that was just in a summer.
Damn.
Yeah. Eventually, the park was opened as Dominion Square, which makes sense. It's kind of, you know. It's was opened in the 1860s, which was, you know, Dominion of Canada time.
Mm-hmm.
So they called it Dominion Square. It was later renamed as two separate parks. It was later renamed as the whole thing as Place du Canada. And then it was later split and named Dorchester Square and Place du Canada. Just too confusing. It has two names for the two parts.
Just got to be an English name and a French name.
Always. Mm-hmm. But the Dorchester Square is actually named for oh my god, the guy who it's named for him because he made sure that like French was a language or something. He invented the French language. He invented French, Cecilia. No, it's named, because it was named after, when they renamed René Lévesque, they mm-hmm. renamed it Dorchester, because it's named after René Lévesque. So Dorchester Boulevard was first named, and then they renamed Dorchester after René Lévesque, and then, but it's called Dorchester after, here we go, Guy Carleton, the first Baron of Dorchester, who supported the rights of French speakers in British North America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's named after a British guy who said yes to French, and they were like, okay, this guy.
They're like, this guy liked French.
this guy liked Frenchness, and so we liked this guy. So that's why it was named Dorchester Square, because mm-hmm. it was on Dorchester Street. We get it. All right. So apparently also the Cecilia, there used to be, and I knew this, there used to be a statue of Johnny McDonald in the park.
Is it the one that they, like, tore down or poured blood on, or something? Yeah, it's
the huge one they tore down in 2020.
Nice.
During the other pandemic times, yeah. you know. And, but apparently before it had been torn down, it was one of the sites, people thought it was a haunted statue or like mm-hmm. a cursed statue, because it was one of the spots in the city that reported the most like health, like incidences, like people would report like heart attacks, anxiety attacks, like a lot of like not good things around mm-hmm. it. And they were also like, its eyes follow you. Like, and people just didn't like it. Yeah, which, that's great. That makes sense. Yeah. It's not good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that has alleviated since the statue's been gone, but I sure hope so.
Yeah. Maybe that's why.
And Cecilia, maybe that is why. And you know what I just realized as I was writing the story?
Yes.
I was like, I've been there. And then I was like, I know why I've been there. In 2017, I planted a tree there. With CN and Tree Canada.
Thanks, CN.
Yeah, I am like 99% sure it was there. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't remember. I'm pretty sure remembering it being called Place du Canada. Mm-hmm. But I was looking for like on Google Maps for like. So like the amount of time I spent writing the story, the amount of time I spent trying to figure out if this picture of me is at this spot.
Oh my
if
god!
This is where we planted the tree. I did end up looking at pictures and kind of corroborating it. I was like, okay, that building looks the same as this building, and it's right here. So, and I'm pretty sure it was near that statue when that statue still existed. But what I remember going there and thinking, wow, this is a nice park. Mm-hmm. I don't remember thinking, wow, or knowing at all. Wow, this is a crazy cemetery.
Yeah.
Of cholera times. But, yeah, that's Place du Canada and, I always forget the English name. Dorchester Square.
Dorchester Square,
Place du Canada. Yeah. Previously, the St. Antoine Cemetery.
That's fucked.
It's fucked. Isn't it crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, yeah, I the reason I was there in 2017... I'm sure many of you have heard me talk about
mm-hmm.
My time as a, what they call now a heritage player, which was then at the time called a Confederation player, the Charlottetown Festival. It was really cool. We did a trip to Montreal and Ottawa on a train, and we planted a tree. We didn't plan anything. We just stood there, but
someone planted a tree and Kylie like was there for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was like a big ceremonial thing. They like announced like that they were gonna plant a bunch of trees, and so the first one they planted was there in Montreal. It was cool. It was there. Apparently, this is insider information. Apparently, the tree died like basically right after. I think they replanted it again, but yeah. I remember when we were looking at it, we were like, "That doesn't look like a very healthy tree." I don't think it was, but
that's so classic.
I don't make the rules.
They're like, I don't know, we just need to like find a random tree, like we'll figure it out later if it's if it's dead.
I know. Yeah. So yeah, I'm 99% sure I planted a tree there. Definitely digging up. We were probably digging up some money mm-hmm. in the form of bones, you know, and worms. Mm-hmm. So cuz the bones are their money,
the bones are their worms. Money, and so are the worms.
Yeah.
And that's that.
And that's that on that. Yep. Bones are their dollars.
Indeed.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. I, it's funny when you are 99% through a story and realize, I think I've been there, actually. And then have to backtrack and search your brain from, like, 5 years ago to be like, was it there? Sure.
If it's, like, a Canadian destination that's, like, something like that where it's, like, a park.
Yeah.
You're like, have I been there? Is that a place that I've just like stumbled upon at some point?
Right?
Yeah.
And there's like a good chance that yes, you know, like
mm-hmm.
sometimes you forget and then you remember, oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially when like you're not the one organizing a trip. Like,
mm-hmm.
like the amount of times I've been to like Quebec City, I've never been the one who organized what we did there.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't, like, you know, that's a good example of somewhere I'm like, I couldn't tell you what I've seen. Probably everything. But also, I don't know. I only know if I go again and see it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Well, that's some real fucked up shit. And
yeah. Welcome back to the podcast, Plague Stories, I guess.
I guess. We're back at it. Welcome back,
Plague Stories. I felt confident in doing this one.
Old pal of the pod. I also
didn't do it expecting cholera, so that was an interesting surprise.
Old pal of the pod, the Catholic Church.
That's right, yeah.
Just out this there causing in the problems. Catholic Church.
Yeah, go way back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. Oh, apparently also, though, like, something else I read was now when if they do like maintenance work there, which they do, one in the like pavers, there's like little crosses. So it does like, recognize it was once a cemetery, like mm-hmm. in the modern pavers through the park, there's crosses on it. Mm-hmm. And also if when they do, you know, inevitable repairs and things that you maintenance that you have to do for a park, and if they do find remains, they now take them to Mount Royal and rebury them in the Catholic cemetery there. Yeah, so that is nice. Very nice to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a protocol for that, which is nice to know.
There is a protocol for when they just stumble across a dead body.
Well, that's nice to know. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, what am I supposed to do?
Right? You know? Right?
I would wonder.
There's not always protocol for that.
There's not always protocol for that people are well aware of. Mm-mm. AKA, like, the park where we lived in Ottawa. I don't know what the protocol would be for something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. What if I was just digging in that park?
What happens if you dug a hole and you found something you didn't want to find? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know what to do.
You just wouldn't know.
Just wouldn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's not on that. Mm. Yeah. It's how it do be some days. Cecilia, I watched all of Yellow Jackets. Are you proud of me?
Yes, good job.
Thank you.
The Carl Havoc thing that I think you should leave joke just in the Crave description for some reason.
It was very funny and also made a lot of sense.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
Very funny.
It's so funny.
It's so great.
If you are the person out there who writes the descriptions for Crave TV shows,
we would like to meet you, please, because you're very funny.
You are my hero. How did you do it? Why did you do it?
Yeah. How very dare you? And also, thank you for your service.
Also, if you are the person that pointed that out to me, please tell me, because I can't figure out.
Please make yourself known.
I can't figure out who pointed it out to me. It's a mystery.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I very much enjoyed it, and it did make me read all of the descriptions, and they were all delightful.
Yes.
They were all, like, super descriptive in a very vague way, but a very hilarious way. Mm-hmm. It was great. Yeah. And also, that show's fucked.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the best way. I did enjoy the first season more than the second.
The first season is, like, a lot better than the second, but the second season's still enjoyable.
It was great. I watched them back to back, so I didn't feel a, like, big... I didn't feel the, like, huge disparity, only because I was still reeling from the first as I was watching the second. Mm-hmm. But, of course, I was like, oh, the dynamic is way different because of all the things they did in the first season. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. I don't know what they're going to do now. I'm like, what the heck, you know? I watched the end, and I was like, well, all right.
I'm going to do some more shit.
Going to have to do some more shit.
Have you been watching the other two?
Oh, of course I've been keeping up with the other two.
Don't think I'm caught up. I think I've missed an episode or two, but that's my TV recommendation for everyone is watch the other two. It's delightful.
It's so delightful. The way that it uses, like, magical realism is so funny. Mm-hmm. It's like, catches you off guard in a, like, really beautiful way. Yeah. Because I find, like, TV shows that use magical realism, I'm like, okay, I can see it coming. But when that show does it, I don't know, the way that they do it is so believable.
It's so good.
Like, it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They only use it when absolutely necessary and also in order to, like, heighten themselves. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's so, so good. That's a great show. Mm-hmm. That's a great show. It never disappoints. Mm-hmm. Molly Shannon is my hero. and it never disappoints.
She's the best.
And also Drew Tarver's my hero.
We love him.
Every person on that show is my hero, if I'm gonna be honest.
No, like, they're so funny. I also what's his name, the like boyfriend, the like goofy boyfriend.
Yes.
He's in the new Scream movie. And
is he?
I didn't connect the dots until I watched it, I think, the second time with someone who had seen the other two. And I was like,
right.
Oh, that's why I cannot take this man seriously.
Because you've seen him in the other two.
Oh, my God. I get it. Because I like he's supposed to be more of like a he's like a serious character in that Scream movie.
He's a serious man.
He's a serious man. And I was like, I'm not feeling it. What's up with this guy? Why is he?
Yeah, you're like, he's not doing it for me.
Why do I feel like he's off? And I'm like, oh, it's because he's the goofiest guy in the other two.
He's a goofy little goon. Mm-hmm. That's really funny.
I love him. He's great.
I like that a lot. That's really great. I, yeah. Like, honestly, no notes. Excellent, perfect show. Mm-hmm. No notes. None notes. Never has had a note in all of its three seasons. Not once.
None notes.
None notes for me. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Please keep it going forever.
Please.
As long as it needs to. Yeah. Like, it deserves all the awards and accolades. Yeah. I think a lot of people are sleeping on it, and that's
absolutely
dumb.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. not a. It's people should watch it. I don't know. What else is going on? What else do you want to let the people know about?
The Righteous Gemstones is back.
I haven't watched any of it.
I was late to this call because I was watching that second episode.
Okay.
And I was like, oh right, I have to call Cecilia.
I was you told me that you were ready, and I was like, shit, because I've been playing I got the fucking Harry Potter video game, and I'm like the Hogwarts Legacy. Ah!
Is it fun?
I finally got a controller for a PS4, and it's really fun.
Oh man, yeah. That's great.
And it has. I am really bad at video games, or I just like I'm bad at like fighting and like navigating these sorts of video games. But this one has like it has an easy mode, and then it has a story mode, which is like even easier than the easy mode, where it's like in combat it literally like tells you what buttons to press or like makes it really easy so that you're not like losing.
Nice.
It's like baby mode. I love it. It's great. So I don't
it's
have to like
kind that it calls it story mode.
It's story mode. It's
like
baby mode.
Extra baby mode.
No, so I'm playing extra baby mode, and when I have to fight other people or monsters, it's like, okay, press X now. Or like I can like do things, but then it tells me when to defend, and then I'm like, thank you.
Oh, you're like, I needed to know.
Thank
that.
You, because I won't do it. I'm not going to be looking around. I'm not going to make sure to be watching out for enemies. Tell me when to press, X to fucking defend myself. Thank you. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Fuck J.K. Rowling, but that game is really fun.
Nice. I mean, like, yeah, obviously fuck J.K. Rowling, but, like, sometimes we need to find little joys in this, you know, hellscape we've built for ourselves. So, if your little joy is playing a stupid video game, great. It's not going to make any difference, you know, to do it or not.
I'm hiding out from the smoke, and I'm going to go to Hogwarts.
I know you're going to go to Hogwarts. That's going to be for you. That's really great.
Okay, I'm going
to
play some more after this.
That's good. Okay, well then we got to hang up because I want you to play more, and that sounds really fun.
Thank you.
And delightful. Mm-hmm. And I am going to also stay inside and finish the first three episodes of Righteous Gemstones.
Love it.
So that's what I'm gonna
do. Love that
do.
For you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your support. But that's not on that.
Yeah.
We're happy to be here for another week. Yeah, our schedule's gonna be a little weird in the coming weeks because I don't know if we told you the top of the show, but we're going to Edmonton, bud. Like,
So we might not have an episode next Friday. We might do some sort of special something for next Friday. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But we're going to be...
We'll see what happens, and you'll see.
We're going to be in Edmonton, so just watch out for the on our Instagram, Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod.
Yeah.
Look at just keep an eye on our podcast feed and just see what happens. But If you're in Edmonton, come to the show. Come say hi.
We'd love to see you.
We're also going to be at the Found Festival Beer Gardens on Friday and Saturday, yes, asking for ghost stories. That's right. So if you're in Edmonton or want to come to Edmonton and tell us your ghost stories, we'd really love to hear them.
If you've always been dreaming about being a part of the pod, let us know your Edmonton ghost
stories. Now's your time. We'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's your time to shine, baby.
Yeah, otherwise, you'll be hearing our live episodes sometime soonish.
That's right. Tell your friends, tell your fam, tell your friends, tell your dog. We love dogs. We'll meet your dog. We'll let your dog tell us. We'll meet your dog. Story.
Dogs listen. I'm not. That. Have I said on the podcast about Dolly listening to the podcast? I don't remember if I just told you or if I told the podcast.
I don't know if you told. Tell them again in case you did.
Because my parents were like listening to our podcast on a speaker in my house. And one of the dogs, like, came into the room and was, like, looking around because she heard my voice and she thought I was there. She was so excited.
That's so sad. But I wasn't there. She loves you. Yeah. She's so silly and doesn't have a brain to make go round, but I love her.
She doesn't have two brain cells to rub together. No. But she had one single brain cell. She had one single brain cell that was like, where? What am I hearing?
She's like, I know this sound. I want to play.
I want to attack. Where is she? Yeah. So Dolly,
so cute,
listener of the podcast.
Dolly, number one dog listener of the podcast.
Yeah, she loves it.
That's so sweet. Well, that's so nice. If you would like your dog to be the number two listener of the podcast or number one guest on the podcast for dogs,
we would love a dog guest.
We've never had a dog guest, officially.
Well.
Unofficially, yes. Officially, no.
We've had dogs in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had pets on the podcast, but not in an official capacity.
Not in an official capacity, no.
No. Mm-mm. So if you'd officially like your pet to be the first, you'll have to come see us in Edmonton. Give us your pet story. And then we will let them happen, maybe.
Yes.
Just saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's that on that, baby.
So, yeah. Check us out on socials. Mm. Look at our link tree and see what you can do.
Mm-hmm. See what you can do. There's so much you could do.
The possibilities are, like, not endless, but there's lots.
But there's, like, quite a bit. You know, we're pretty infallible. We're kind of perfect at what we do.
The possibilities are possibility-ing.
And you're welcome. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see you next time. In the meantime, you know where to find us. And also, find us in Edmonton. Ooh, we've been waiting a long time to say that.
Okay, see you there.
Oh, wait. What? Before we go anywhere, though, Cecilia, I have a question for you.
What?
I would just like to know if you've seen any ghosts lately.
No.
Oh.
Kylie?
Yeah?
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
No, but I'm hoping to in Edmonton.
Oh, wait, Kylie, I saw some ghosts and there's some in Hogwarts, and I've been at Hogwarts.
Oh, you liar. You've seen ghosts all day.
I'm sorry, I forgot. I've been talking to ghosts.
Wow, nearly Headless Nick?
No.
They only put him in the movie, but he's not that much in the books.
No, and they don't put Peeves in the movie, but they do have Peeves in the game.
I like Peeves very much. Peeves is the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, say hi to our boy Peeves for
us.
And we'll talk to you all very, very soon. We love you.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. I forgot the word for street. I was like, rue.
A rue. The rue?
A rue. And then I went, twa-gaw. And then I went, no. And then I went, street. That's how that went in my brain.